Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is good. Thank you that it's true. And Father, as we read this part and read more about God's amazing rescue, we pray that you bless us with faith and understanding. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul and Silas have not had a good day. By God's power, they set a girl free from this terrible situation. And you think everybody would be going, wow, that's awesome, that's amazing. But there were some men who used to make quite a lot of money out of this girl's terrible situation. And so they're pretty unhappy that she's been rescued. They didn't think her rescue was amazing. They thought it was a disaster. And so they whip up a bit of racism against Paul and Silas because they're Jews, and they get everybody in town cranky at them. And then the police get involved, and the police beat them up really badly and throw them into prison, where they're chained up in like the maximum security cell with no windows. Paul and Silas have not had a very good day. They started the day just heading out into the countryside. They were going to pray by the river. They were going to tell some people about Jesus. They ended the day beaten up and bruised and sore. They ended the day chained up in a dark prison cell for doing an amazing rescue, for doing a good thing for somebody else. I wonder if you were in their shoes, I wonder how you would feel. Maybe you feel a bit grumpy about it all. Maybe you'd be feeling a bit sorry for yourself. Maybe you'd be feeling lonely, frightened about the other prisoners not being in prison. Maybe you'd be scared about what would happen next. Worried, I'm going to be stuck in this horrible jail for a really long time. Those would be pretty normal things to feel, wouldn't they? You might sit there crying. You might sit there kind of ready to explode with frustration, depending on which way you lean emotionally. But are Paul and Silas sitting there crying? Are they sitting there cursing with frustration? Here's my first question. According to verse 25, what are Paul and Silas doing? Who can tell me? What are Paul and Silas doing? I saw the hand there. Yep, what are they doing, Sam? They're praising God. Yep, give that man a thing. And how are they doing that? Yep. They're singing. I'm going to go with that's what I heard. Yes. And what else are they doing? They're singing and praying. They're praying and singing songs to God. They're not overcome with fear or with worry or with loneliness. Just making sure Mum doesn't rip one off here. Eh? They're not overcome with fear or worry or loneliness. They're full of joy. Why is this so? Well, it's because they know that the message they've been sharing with the world, it's true. There is a God who loves the world and who loves them. There is a king who's risen from the dead, and they belong to that king. Part of the amazing rescue that God brings to people who trust him is the joy and the hope and the contentment that goes with knowing who God is and what it is that God has done. Paul and Silas have discovered just how much God loves them. How much? Enough to go to the cross for them in the person of the Son, in Jesus. Paul once wrote a letter to a church in Rome, and in that letter he said, "Very rarely will anyone die for an innocent man, though for a very good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God showed his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Paul and Silas knew just how much God loved them because the cross showed them how much. And they also knew how powerful God is. They knew that after Jesus had died on that cross, what happened next? There's a question. Yep. Yeah, except I was pointing about four rows behind you. Yes, he rose again. Well done. God raised him up to life again. God is stronger than any power in the whole universe, up to and including death itself. And because Paul and Silas knew these things, and because they knew how good God is, they weren't frightened or worried or lonely, even though they were in prison. They weren't alone. God was right there with them in all of his love and all of his power. Whatever happened, it was going to be exactly what God wanted to happen, and they trusted him enough to know that whatever he wanted would be for the best. And so they passed the time in jail praying to him and singing to him. They were too focused on how good God is to be feeling sorry for themselves or worrying. Part of the amazing rescue that God brings to people who trust him is the joy and the hope and the contentment that goes with knowing who he is and what he's done for us. The world can be a pretty scary place sometimes, can't it? Bombs going off, people shooting at people on the television, environmental disasters, natural disasters. The world can be a pretty scary place sometimes. Sometimes life doesn't go the way we planned it to go. Sometimes it doesn't go the way we want it to go. But if I trust God, then I know how much he loves me, and I know how powerful he is, and I know how good he is. And I can hand my worries and my fears to him. I can know he knows what's going on, even if I don't, and he's got it all in hand. God rescues his people from fear. And that was very evident in Paul's life, not just while he sat in that prison cell singing away. It was very evident years later as well. A dozen years after that night in that prison cell, Paul would write a letter back to the church in Philippi where all of this happened. And he would write it from yet another prison cell. This time he was in prison in Rome. And this time he wasn't sure if they were going to release him or if they were going to execute him. It could have gone either way. He didn't know. So he was in prison, potentially about to be executed. But do you know what the great theme of the letter that he wrote to them was while he was there in prison? Its great theme was joy. He was in prison, maybe about to be executed, and his mind was full of joy. God is an amazing rescuer. And when he rescues us from fear and worry, and he rescues us to joy and to hope. When you know who he really is, when you know what he's really done, there is joy and hope, even in the worst of circumstances, even in tears, joy and hope. And this great God reminds Paul and Silas of why this is true and what he does on that fateful night as they sing and pray. Because what happened, here's a question, what happened while they were singing and praying in their cell? What happened next? I can see a little hand popping up behind Jason's head. Yes, what happened next? There was an earthquake. Give that man a Freddo. It says that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. It was a very convenient earthquake because the roof doesn't fall in and crush anybody to death, but all the prison doors spring open and all the prisoners' chains come loose. God's enemies, they thought they could stop his message about Jesus from spreading to the world by locking up the messengers. But God sends a reminder that that's just dumb. He has brought resurrection life out of death. He brought a man alive out of his tomb. He can spring guys out of a prison cell. God gives them this reminder of his power that we can trust is with us if we are his children by faith. And then God does another amazing rescue in this story. Because Paul and Silas, they're not worried in this story, but when he wakes up, who is very worried in this story? Who is very worried? I think you're first, Zoe. The jailer, the prison guard. Here's my other question. What is he worried about? Yes, mate? He's worried about the prisoners escaping. Do you know why he's worried? Because Roman law said, if you were the jailer and your prisoners escaped, you would be executed. This jailer is so freaked out by all of his prisoners escaping, he's ready to execute himself. But Paul stops him. No, everybody's still here. Everyone's still here. And so the jailer gets his torch and he shines it around and he discovers Paul's right. Paul's telling the truth. This jailer, he has seen the joy and the hope in Paul and Silas that's like nothing he's ever seen in a prisoner before. And he can't help but know that it's their God who is the one who fills them with joy and hope. He can't help but know it because they've been singing it at the top of their lungs and praying about him at the top of their lungs all through the night. And now this jailer has been confronted with the supernatural power of this God. The prison doors flung open. All the prisoners, though, still there and present and accounted for. And this jailer, he's also been confronted with the kindness of God. God's messenger, Paul, has stopped him from killing himself. This jailer has learned that Paul's God is real and powerful and good. But he's not stupid. He knows that he has ignored this God. He's lived apart from this God. He even chained up the messengers of this God. He knows that this God has a problem with him, and rightly so. He knows this is unlikely to end well for him, as the Bible makes clear is true for everybody who chooses to walk apart from God, to walk apart from their Maker. And so this jailer, he sees he needs to be saved. He needs to be rescued from all of that. And so what does he ask in verse 30? Well, somebody hasn't had a go. Yes? What must I do to be saved? He's asking Paul and Silas, how can I be rescued from what I deserve for the way that I've treated God? Paul and Silas, how can I be rescued from the judgment I deserve for not loving and serving the one true God? Paul and Silas, how can I be rescued into friendship with this good and loving God like you guys have got? And immediately they tell him just how simple it is. What's the answer in verse 31? Yep. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Trust in Jesus, the risen King, and he will make you not just one of God's friends, he will make you one of God's beloved children. You don't have to impress Jesus and you can't. You don't have to earn Jesus' love and you can't. When he died on the cross and when he rose again, Jesus did everything that needed to be done to bring forgiveness and new life to any person, anywhere in the world. All we have to do is trust Jesus the King. And the jailer did. And so did his family. And did you notice the outcome in the very last verse? What is he now filled with? Have a look. Can you see what it is? I see a hand behind Katrina. There's a body attached to it. One of you go, you both get a Freddo if you get it right. What's he filled with? Joy! Two Freddos back there. Gee, she's got a big head, that Katrina, hasn't she? Joy. The same joy that God brought to Paul and Silas, he's now brought to the jailer and to his family. They now see how loving and powerful and good the one true God is, and it delights their hearts just as much as it did for Paul and for Silas. And I wonder if you understand that all of us, little people and big people, we all face the problem that the jailer faced. All of us have walked apart from God in different ways. All of us carry the burden of that, even if we've never realised it, just like he didn't realise it until that fateful night. But in a spiritual sense, every single person needs rescuing. The Bible calls walking apart from God sin, and it's clear it's not on. It's clear it ends in judgment. But the Bible is equally clear that Jesus really has done everything necessary to rescue us from that sin, and all we need to do is trust him. Is look to him as the King that he is. And as we do, we discover more and more what an amazingly good King he is. His love and his power, his wisdom and his goodness, they really are amazing. And as we discover that, it does. It brings us hope and joy, the hope and joy that Paul and Silas and the jailer all discovered. It brings a hope and a joy that is deep and real, even in the times of tears. And so the simple encouragement that I want to leave us with this morning as we finish a week of thinking about God's amazing rescue, the simple encouragement I want to leave us with this morning, whether we're child or an adult, is this. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Trust in Jesus the King and experience the rescued life that he brings. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing one of the Hawk songs that reminds us about some of this stuff. Heavenly Father, thank you for the amazing rescue that you've done in the Lord Jesus who died on the cross for us. Thank you that we can be forgiven. Thank you that we can be made your children. Thank you that we can have the joy and the hope that comes from belonging to such a loving and powerful and good God. Father, fill each and every one of us with trust in the Lord Jesus. Fill us with faith that we might know these blessings and that we might live this amazing rescue. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.